Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this day of the Holy Cross is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Returning to verse 18, the apostle writes, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Suppose for a moment that somebody's driving along and they lose control, they smash into a tree, they're pinned inside of the car. And as he's trapped there, he's able to see and hear a passing motorist shout out, "You should exercise more caution when driving. Follow my example and drive more safely." Well, what do you think of that advice? The trapped driver is completely unable to follow it. Why? Because first, he has to be rescued. Now that seems self-evident, that following a safe driver's example is not going to be helpful in that situation. And if we take that a step further, it's not even possible. And yet, when it comes to a spiritual life, there's a lot of people out there that want to believe they can follow an example out of a car crash. They want to hear messages about how to be successful, or about God's principles for leadership, or just God's keys to a good life. But there's a tension. There's a complication with that, the problem being that when you dig into the Word of God over and over, what you will hear is that what you really need is rescue. You need to be pulled out of the wreckage. Following an example is not going to get it. You and I need to be saved. And this salvation is created by a man nailed to a wooden cross. A pretty gruesome image when you stop to think about it. But as we let God's Word speak to us today, I believe that the message of Jesus' cross will show itself to be the most relevant thing we can concentrate on as Christians. Jesus' loving sacrifice on the cross is God's greatest display of power. That sounds foolish to many, but it is the message that saves souls and changes lives for eternity. In today's epistle lesson, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian Christians that his bottom line was always going to be the cross of Jesus Christ. He wrote, "The message of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And he goes on to write, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." This is what it always comes down to: Jesus suffering and dying on the cross. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, preachers can talk about Jesus in all sorts of ways. Jesus as a good example to follow, Jesus as a revolutionary leader, even Jesus as CEO of an organization. But any teaching about Jesus that bypasses his cross and sacrificial death is at best incomplete. At worst, that type of teaching gets Jesus wrong and leads people away from the truth. Why was the Apostle Paul so adamant about this? Because souls were at stake. And souls are still at stake. There is no forgiveness of sins and no such thing as eternal life outside of these simple facts. God loved each of us sinners so much that rather than let us die and go to hell, He sent His Son into this world to die our death and to rise again from the dead. And in that dying, He absorbed all of your sin and mine and the hell that they deserved and took that all away from you. And in His rising, He supplies you with never-ending life. That is the power of the cross. This is the painful length to which Jesus goes to make it possible for you to live with Him for eternity. And it's precisely this understanding of the cross that makes us wise in the face of tragedy and suffering. Forgiveness of sins is absolutely the central message of the cross. But it's not the only message. Jesus' cross shows us what human beings are capable of. The Sanhedrin was willing to endorse murder to silence Jesus. It is a cold and a cruel and yet a clueless evil that believes that the voice of God's Son can ever be silenced. Individuals and ideologies have tried, and they've all failed, and they will always fail because Jesus just won't stay in the grave. The pattern of Jesus, His cross first, and then resurrection. A pattern we, His followers, willingly travel, fully aware of the risks and the rewards. Jesus' cross makes us wise about suffering. All suffering, whether public or private. To behold the Son of God dying on the cross, as it's somewhat portrayed in that image up there on the screens, to behold that, to really see it in your mind and heart, is astonishing. And it's so humbling. It's a profound mystery. Do you understand why? Because there's the perfect one. God's own beloved Son, with whom He is well pleased, and He is being torn apart on the cross in body and soul. At the cross, God suffered. What does that mean? This means that suffering is a place that you can meet Jesus and be drawn closer to Him than you've ever been. It's not a place we go looking for. It'll find you. It finds you soon enough. But when it does, the cross of Jesus signals He knows how to find you. He knows where you live. He's been there. And He can touch your life When every earthly prop gives way, he then is all my hope and stay, as one of our classic hymns once put it. Therefore, if you believe that Jesus died and rose, not just historically, but for you, on your behalf, to balance your account, if you believe that baptism connects you to this living Savior, if you believe that He loved you enough to sacrifice His own life for you, it has to change the way that you think, you respond. It changes everything about you. The forgiveness received from Jesus changes your heart so that you're not just forgiven, but forgiving. I mean, we pray it all the time in the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Since God has removed our sins, the Holy Spirit urges and enables us to forgive the sins of those who hurt us. Does that sound naive? Does that sound weak or foolish? Many in this world would say, yes, it does. But the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God stronger than man's strength. So let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I fear no foe with Thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave Thy victory? I triumph still if Thou abide with me. Amen.